Jack and the Beanstalk. There was once a poor widow who had nothing in the world but a son called Jack and a cow called Milky White. Jack was no help. He was a dreamer. He couldn't keep a job for 2 days together. But Milky White was a good milking cow and saved them both from starving. However, the time came when the cow grew too old and her milk dried up. Then there was trouble.
"Now we're ruined," said the poor widow. "I'll get a job, mother," said Jack. "We've tried that before," said his mother. "No, there's nothing left but to sell the cow." "Leave it to me," said Jack. "I'm just the lad to strike a bargain."
And the same day, he set off for market. Well, Jack hadn't gone very far when he met a little old man. And couldn't he talk?
"Good morning, good morning, and what a morning for a bargain. You look a smart lad," said he. "Where are you going with that fine cow?"
"To market," said Jack.
"I might be able to save you the trip," said the man.
This news pleased Jack. He was already feeling weary.
"And because I like the look of you and that handsome cow," said the little old man, "I'm going to give you such a bargain. What do you think of these?"
And he held out his fist, opened his fingers, and there in his palm were 5 beans.
"Beans?" said Jack. "Beans," said the man. "Not just 1 bean, not 2 beans, not even 3, nor 4," said the man. "But 5 beans is the bargain, and you won't get a better one."
5 beans for my cow? You must think I'm daft," said Jack.
"These aren't any old beans," said the fast-talking man. "Believe me, these are magic beans. Plant them overnight, and by morning they'll have grown into a beanstalk that'll make a hole in the sky."
Well, the word magic caught Jack's imagination. He took a closer look at the beans. They shimmered like a rainbow. They looked magic, all right.
"It's a deal," he said, and he pocketed the beans, handed over the cow, and was home before his mother had finished her work. "Back already?" she said, amazed. "I hope you got a good price."
"You'll never believe it, mother," said Jack, bursting with excitement.
"Oh, Jack," said she, with relief. "How much did you get? £10? 15? Surely not 20?
"Better than that, mother," said he,
and he opened his hand with a flourish and showed her the 5 beans. His mother was speechless, but not for long.
"Beans!" she yelled. "Beans! You sold my pride and joy for a handful of beans? You idiot, you fool, you nincompoop!"
Jack's mother snatched the beans out of Jack's hand and threw them through the open door.
"That's what I think of your precious beans. Up to bed with you! There'll be no supper tonight, or any other night from now on."
And she sat in the kitchen and wept with temper and hunger combined. Jack climbed the stairs, a sad and hungry boy, but more sorry for his mother than his own empty stomach. Next morning, when Jack woke, he wondered where on earth he was. The little window, which usually let in the morning sun, cast a green glow over the room, as if it were under the sea. Jack slipped out of bed and across to the window. Outside, an enormous beanstalk twisted and twined its way into the sky, breaking through the clouds, its stalk as thick as the trunk of a full-grown tree. Clearly, Jack had been right to trust the beans, and he didn't hesitate now. He reached out into the branches, pulled himself up, and disappeared among the dense leaves. Jack climbed and he climbed and he climbed for most of the day, until, utterly exhausted, he reached the top of the beanstalk. There was nothing in sight but a wide winding road. Jack walked along the road until at last he came to a huge great house, and at the door of the huge great house was a huge great woman.
"Good morning," said Jack, nice and polite. "I'm almost dead from hunger. Please, could you give me a mouthful of something?"
"It's a mouthful you want, is it? It's a mouthful you'll be if my husband catches you," said the huge great woman. "He's an ogre. He eats boys like you on toast."
"I'll just have to take my chance," said Jack. "I'm dead anyway if I don't have something to eat." "You wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?"
And Jack gave her the kind of smile that would charm any ogre's wife.
"Oh, all right," said she, "but be sharp. He could be back any time."
She led Jack into the kitchen and gave him a bowl of porridge. But as soon as he started to eat, the bowl, the table, the whole kitchen began to shake.
"Quick, here he comes now. Into the oven with you, and not a sound, or it'll be toasted boy sandwich and no mistake."
Before he could object, the ogre's wife had bundled Jack into the oven, leaving the door open the tiniest crack. The shuddering came closer and closer. Thump, 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 thump. Jack heard a voice like thunder booming down a tunnel.
Fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be alive or be dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread.
The ogre thumped the table.
Where is he, wife?
There's no one here, said she. That's leftovers you can smell, last night's stew. Come and eat your breakfast.
Then she set in front of him a dozen chickens piled high on a dish. The hungry ogre ate, smacking his lips and snapping and crunching the bones until Jack thought he would faint from the noise. After he had eaten, the ogre took out a bag of gold, emptied it onto the table, and counted it over and over again. Jack peeped through the crack and watched the ogre. But mostly he watched the shining gold and thought of all the things he and his mother could buy with it. At last the ogre laid his head on the table and fell asleep, his snores rumbling round the room. Then Jack lost no time in escaping. He slipped out of the oven, swung the sack of gold over his shoulder, and set off for home. He ran as fast as he could, despite the great weight, until he reached the top of the beanstalk. Jack lowered himself into its branches and began to climb down. When Jack's mother saw him safe and sound, she hugged him and kissed him. Then, when she thought of the worry he'd caused her, she scolded him and smacked him. But when she saw the sack of gold, she hugged and kissed him even harder.
Oh, Jack, said she. Oh, mother, said he, give up.
Jack wasn't one for kissing and cuddling. Still, he was glad to see his mother happy. For quite a long while, Jack and his mother lived well on the gold. But in time, it was gone. Isn't that always the way with money? So now they were poor again, and Jack wanted to go back up the beanstalk. His mother wouldn't hear of it, of course. But that didn't stop Jack. One day, without a word, off he went, climbing his weary way to the top. He'd forgotten what a way it was, and when he reached the huge great house, he was almost too tired to speak. The same as last time, standing at the door was the ogre's wife.
Good morning, said Jack.
The huge great woman, being short-sighted, bent down and peered at Jack.
There was a young lad, said she, looked remarkably like you, came here once before and stole my husband's gold.
What a scoundrel,
said Jack, looking as if butter wouldn't melt in his mouth.
I bet I know that lad. If you give me a bite to eat, I could tell you a thing or two about him.
Well, the ogre's wife didn't know whether to believe Jack or not. But he had such a way with him that once more she found herself taking him in and giving him a bowl of porridge to eat. Just as before, there came a shuddering and a juddering. All the plates rattled on the shelves.
Quick, said the ogre's wife, and she bundled him into the oven again.
Not a moment too soon, in came the ogre. This time you should have heard him sniff.
Fee-fi-fo-fum, said he. I can smell him, wife. I can smell him.
Surely it's only those lads you had last week and enjoyed so much. How the smell of boys does linger round the place, said his wife. Sit down. Your breakfast's ready for you.
So the ogre, still sniffing and snuffing, sat at the table and ate a pair of sheep. When he was done, he called to his wife,
Bring me the hen that lays the golden eggs.
As soon as it was on the table, the ogre said,
Lay.
And the hen laid a perfect golden egg. Again he said,
Lay.
And it laid another and another each time he spoke, until there was quite a pile of them. Tiring of this, the ogre fell asleep with his head on the table, his snores like a gale howling through the house. Jack had again watched everything through the crack in the oven door. Now he crept out, tucked the hen under his arm, and set off at a run. He headed for the beanstalk and home before the ogre could wake and catch him. This time Jack found his mother nearly frantic with worry, but he hugged her and kissed her and promised her anything if only she wouldn't be cross with him.
Wait till you see this, mother, said he. Stand there, don't move, just watch. Now, hen, he said, lay.
and the hen laid a perfect golden egg, and another, and another, and she went on laying until the house was ankle-deep in them. Well, as you'll realize, this time the money didn't run out, because if it did, Jack had only to say, lay, and there would always be more. But the truth is, Jack had a longing to go back up the beanstalk, and nothing his poor mother said could persuade him out of it. One morning, while she was still asleep, Jack set off again. When he reached the huge great house, he knew better than to try his luck a third time. Instead, he waited in the garden until the ogre's wife came out of the house. Then he slipped in behind her back and hid not in the oven, but in a large cooking pot on top of the stove. It wasn't long before the ogre and his wife came into the kitchen. Thump, 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 thump.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman. I smell him, wife. This time I know I smell him.
Well, dear, if it's that rascal who stole your gold and the hen that lays the golden eggs, he's sure to be in the oven.
But when they looked in the oven, Jack wasn't there, nor anywhere else in the kitchen they thought to look. At last, his wife persuaded the ogre to have his meal and forget about boys. The ogre reluctantly sat down, but he couldn't settle. Several times he got up and searched again. One time he even had his hand on the lid of the cooking pot. Jack stopped breathing and imagined himself sandwiched between two slices of toast. But just then the ogre's wife came in.
Sit yourself down and tuck into this, said she. This'll take your mind off troublesome boys.
She set in front of him half a horse. The ogre sat down, but still he muttered,
I could have sworn I smelled a boy.
When he had eaten, the ogre's wife brought him his magic harp.
This is what you need, said she. This'll calm you down.
No sooner was it on the table than the harp began to play all on its own. It played the most soothing and beautiful music Jack had ever heard. In no time the ogre was lulled into such a deep sleep that his snores caused only the lightest breeze. Jack carefully climbed out of the cooking pot and tiptoed over to the table. He was determined to have the harp for himself and his mother. But the moment he touched it, the harp called out, Master! Master! Jack didn't stop. He grabbed the harp and ran as fast as he could back towards the beanstalk. The ogre was soon behind him. Still dozy from sleep, he stumbled several times and nearly fell, so that Jack reached the beanstalk and was climbing down before the ogre arrived at the top. For a second, the ogre hesitated. Trust his great weight to a beanstalk, he thought. Not likely. But again the harp cried out, Master! Master! Then the ogre began to follow Jack, swinging down the beanstalk so that it swayed from side to side. When Jack dared to look up, he saw two huge great boots breaking through the clouds. That made him move even faster. As he slithered down towards the lowest branches, he shouted, Mother! Mother! Bring me an axe! Jack's mother rushed out of the cottage carrying the axe. When she looked up and saw the ogre's huge great legs coming through the clouds, she almost fainted. But Jack was down by now and seized the axe from her. He chopped once, twice, clean through the beanstalk. For a moment it seemed to hang in the sky. Then it crashed to the ground, bringing the ogre with it. He fell head first with such force that he was buried to the waist, legs in the air, stone dead. And that was the end of him. So, with more money than they could ever spend, and the harp to keep them always happy, Jack and his mother had nothing left to wish for, except for Jack to marry, which, in time, he did. And then, since three can live as well as two, they all lived together, and may still be doing so, for all I know.